Welcome to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, a show for providing self-improvement information that has a positive effect, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Simberg.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. If you want more information about the Tough Talk Radio Network, visit our website at www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, where you will see the wide variety of shows that are offered by the network. If you're not able to listen to any of the live shows, they are archived and available the day of the live broadcast. If you're interested in being a guest on my show or any of the other shows, go to the top of the Tough Talk Radio Network page and click on the Hosted Shows link. Then click on the link to the show that you want to be a guest and click on the Register to be a Guest link. If you're thinking about having your own show, there's information on the website about that as well. Be a guest blogger with me by contacting me by email, and the address is alan@alansimberg.com. Again, that email address to contact me about being a guest blogger is alan@alansimberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. Again, that phone number to call is 281-785-0660, and you can also text me on that number as well. If you want to call into the show with a question or brief comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363. Again, that number to call with a question or brief comment is 347-989-1363. And press option 1 to connect with the producer. If you want to just listen by phone, call that number and don't press option 1. You can also message me on Facebook at alan.simberg or at Tough Talk Radio Network, or on Twitter, it's Alan Simberg, @AlanSimberg. I want to let you know that this segment of the show is being sponsored by Standard Process. Standard Process is a company that produces whole food supplements. Another simple way of saying that is vitamins, but there is a difference. There is a difference from regular traditional vitamins and whole food supplements. And the difference is the supplements generally that you buy in the store are really more pharmaceutically based. There are a lot of synthetics in there, a lot of fillers, and your body needs to be able to have all the nutrients that are in food in order to gain complete results from what you take. So whether it's food or a whole food supplement, you need all the nutrients. The whole food supplements are made from foods, and they contain all the known and unknown substances in each of the foods that our bodies need. When I'm talking about known and unknown, the unknown part is there are many substances that are in our foods that we really don't know them because they haven't been identified. But that really doesn't matter, because when you take a whole food supplement, you're getting all the nutrition that you need. Something that I think is important to recognize and understand is that there's a difference between a medical approach to health and a nutritional or complementary approach to health. Okay? Medical doctors identify symptoms and then prescribe medication to treat those symptoms. In doing that, what's actually happening is either your body is not able to give the full expression of the symptoms, so you think that you're better, or it forces the body to do something different. The nutritional approach to health is to provide the body with the nutrients that it needs so that it can achieve optimal health. Now, here's a distinction that I make, and I have read and heard others make the same distinction. Looking at health from a medical point of view, you basically look to identify disease, which is really nothing more than a cluster of symptoms that occur to varying degrees of intensity or frequency, and at the same time. When you look at health from a nutritional point of view, what you're looking at is balance. Now, let me explain this, because this can be a little bit confusing. When we're talking about health and balance being the same thing, what I'm actually saying is that in order for you to have an absence of symptoms, which is a reflection of good health, everything in your body has to be balanced. In order for this to happen, you have to have the proper nutrition, you have to have the proper digestion, you also have to have the proper elimination. All of those factors working together contribute to your body being in balance. And one thing I want to be very clear about, we are not talking about perfection. We are not talking about being in perfect balance. We're talking about being in balance to the degree that you do not have any symptoms, you do not have any discomfort, you do not have any complaints about anything that's going on in your life that in any way is related to either physical or mental well-being. Whenever something goes wrong within your body, it can not only affect your overall general health, it can also affect your mental health, which of course also includes emotions and the way you think. So basically what this all comes down to is that when you take whole food supplements, you are giving your body all the nutrients that it needs, especially, and this is very important, especially when you're eating very good foods. What I call a very good food is a food that is not processed. So anything that's in a package, and some of what I'm going to say may sound kind of shocking, but cereal, bread, cake, any kind of grains, for the most part, any kind of grains, all the processed foods, the candy, the gum, the mints, depending on what's in the mint, all of those things deprive your body of the nutrients that it needs, makes the body work a lot harder. When you take whole food nutrients and you eat vegetables, salads, protein, nuts and seeds, when you eat the things that will give you the best possible amount of nutrients with the least amount of chemicals and toxins, that is a winning combination. And when you take those whole food supplements in combination with really good foods, whether it be locally grown, organic, in the case of animals, pasture-raised or organic, when you do that over a period of time and you take care of yourself in all ways, the amount of supplements that you need to take can decrease. And really, it should, unless there's something wrong that needs further attention. So I just want to say that both personally and with the clients that I work with, taking standard process supplements and also MediHerb, which is more or less like the partner or sister company of standard process, taking those supplements, in addition to learning how to manage your life and eating good, wholesome foods, has really helped many, many people, including myself. We're going to go to commercial break now.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. I want to make a point about how I basically introduced the commercial that just played. And I mean all the commercials, basically talking about the commercial break. Ordinarily, I do have guests on my show. To this point in time, I do not have any guests. So rather than say, and when we come back from commercial break, I'm going to introduce my first guest, I just decided to go to commercial break, see what was going to happen. And now here we are again back on the show. So what we're going to talk about now for a while is something that really follows from what I was talking about earlier in terms of standard process supplements, the whole food supplements, as well as how to eat. And really it's a very, very popular topic, and many people struggle with it. And the it is basically stress. And what I have found in talking with people is that many people have a misunderstanding about what stress actually is. So I'm going to talk about that for a minute or two, and then we're going to talk about how you can know if you're having what I refer to as distress, and also going to be talking about strategies on how to manage your stress. The first point to recognize is that there is no such thing in life as either having stress or not having stress. And I think the most clear way that I can explain this is by defining my understanding of stress. And to put it quite simply, stress is anything that happens that you need to adjust or adapt to. I'm going to say that again. Stress is anything that happens that you have to adjust or adapt to. So that basically means that all of us are facing stress, experiencing stress, and having to manage stress on a daily basis. My next point may sound sarcastic, but it is not sarcastic. There is no sarcasm intended in what I'm about to say. Literally, there is only one way for you not to experience stress in your life, and that would be to be dead. That is the only way that people do not experience stress. So to clear up any confusion that I may be in the process of creating, I want to be very clear that the key to stress management is to learn how to manage our challenges so they do not become distressful. So it is not a question of having stress or not having stress. It's a given. We all have stress to varying degrees every day of our lives. The key is to learn how to manage that stress to prevent it from becoming distressful. Now, of course, the question that pops up in a lot of people's minds is, so how do you do that? Well, there are several things to be aware of in order for you to be successful in managing your stress on a daily basis. And really, in a certain sense, it is related to two different overlapping categories. One is to keep your mind, body, and spirit in balance to the best degree possible on a most consistent basis possible every day, so that when the stress starts to become distressful, it does not throw you. The next part of that is to learn how to manage the different situations so when they do occur and or when you become aware of them, because they could be occurring but you're just not aware of them, is to learn how to manage them. So first let's cover the first part. How do you keep yourself in the best health possible on a daily basis? Well, you eat foods that nourish your body, your mind, and your spirit. Now, I want to be very clear about something. I know that some of what I'm going to say will raise a question in some people's mind about cost, about the finances of how do you do this? Because some of the things that I say tend to be more expensive in some ways than your food would normally be and that your supplements maybe might ordinarily be. So, I'm not talking about being perfect. Any positive change you make is...
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Would you like to be more up-to-date with the real estate market? Do you have some nagging questions you want answered by experts who don't have anything to gain or lose by telling you a straight answer? Tune in to Fast Talk with Vicki Wachtel and get the latest on this fast-paced market. Start your Mondays off well-informed by listening to Vicki's Tell It Like It Is brand of wisdom. Listen live Mondays, 8:30 a.m. on the Tough Talk Radio Network by going to fasttalkwithvickiwachtel.com. Miss the show but want to go back and listen? That's okay. Just
join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Life-Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. So as I was saying before we went to that last commercial break, I don't want anyone to overly concern themselves with the idea of, like, how much is this going to cost me to help me to be healthy? And the way I'm saying this is there's no reason for you to be concerned about doing everything completely different from one day to the next. And also there's no reason to concern yourself with being perfect. Every positive change you make makes a difference in your overall well-being. So basically, what you need to do in order to take care of yourself on a daily basis, which helps you to be able to deal with your challenges, or another way we could say that, help you to deal with your stressors so that you do not become distressed, is to eat at regular intervals, to eat either organic or locally grown produce, to eat protein, meaning the specifics of what I mean there is like meat, chicken, to eat produce that is either pasture-raised or organic, to do your best to avoid anything that contains hormones and antibiotics, which is primarily animal products, eggs, and dairy, to drink a very reasonable amount of water. The general guideline for water, water intake, is half your body weight in ounces. To get enough rest, and one thing I always tell people is that if you have trouble sleeping, do your best not necessarily to get up and start pacing around and making yourself busy. And again, this is a situation that needs to be decided by each individual. For some people, and again, depending on the situation, staying in bed and not being able to sleep creates extra tension. Some people will just focus on the idea of not being able to sleep and get really tense. For some people, and those are the people I'm referring to right now, it might be better for them to get up, burn off a little bit of energy, and then go back to bed. Now, another thing to keep in mind is that sometimes if you're having trouble sleeping, it could be a blood sugar issue, and it's always best before you go to bed to have a small protein snack, or if you wake up during the night, to have a small protein snack. Usually, it's not a really good idea to load up on carbs, that's carbohydrates, or to eat a lot of carbs right before you go to bed, because carbs tend to spike blood sugar, tends to make it go up and down. Protein tends to keep the blood sugar within the proper range. So we're talking about eating healthily, eating at regular intervals. What I usually recommend to people is if you do not have diabetes or any blood sugar issue, I recommend that you eat within an hour of getting up. And again, it doesn't have to be exactly 60 minutes, but we're not talking about 2 hours either. And to eat every 3 hours. And it doesn't have to be a big meal. It can be a snack. It could be a small handful of nuts or seeds. It could be a small piece of meat with a little salad. Anything that will help to keep that blood sugar within the proper range and keep you nourished so that you have the energy and you have the mental capacity to do whatever it is you need to do each day. if someone has a blood sugar issue or has diabetes, I still recommend that you eat within an hour of getting up. And for a person with a blood sugar problem, it's even more important to eat within an hour of getting up. But that doesn't mean it is not important if you do not have a blood sugar problem. And then if you do have the blood sugar problem, that you eat every 2 hours. And as difficult and challenging as it might be, if you have a blood sugar problem, it's really important to either eliminate or truly minimize the amount of carbohydrates that you eat every day. And a good guideline that you could follow is to have no more than 60 grams carbs every day. And that includes sugar. And as far as I'm concerned, the only source of sugar that we really should be getting, and I know it's not possible to be perfect with this, is fruit and not fruit juice. Fruit juice is straight sugar. If you have to have fruit juice, I recommend that you have approximately a quarter to a half a glass of fruit juice and fill the rest with water. Straight sugar affects your adrenals, it affects your blood sugar level, and affects your kidneys. So those are some of the ideas that you can either maintain or put into practice in order to keep yourself in the most fit way possible to be able to meet the stress that comes your way. Now, the next part is, how do you handle the situations that arise that are distressful? Well, basically what you do is you, as calmly as possible, identify what the stressor is and identify possible solutions. Some of what's important is to watch what you tell yourself, watch your thoughts about what's happening. The more negative your thoughts, the more you catastrophize what is happening, the more difficult it is going to be to manage. Because not only are you going to have to deal with whatever it is that is happening, but you're also going to have to deal with the extra stress that you're putting on yourself, that in one way or another, the message to yourself will be, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is really difficult. I don't deserve this. Why is this happening to me? All of those thoughts, while of course they make sense, don't do anything to help you. Okay? An alternative way of thinking would be, okay, so now I have this situation. What can I do about it? Now, obviously, there's going to be some situations you're not going to be able to do anything about it. And hopefully we're not talking about a life-threatening situation. And maybe the answer in that point is to just let it go for a while. Get away from it. Give yourself a chance to cool down, not to be so nervous or upset. But here is a really important point to keep in mind. The more nervous and the more upset you allow yourself to be, the more difficult it will be for you to identify possible solutions. The other point to keep in mind is a possible solution is not necessarily something that you have to come up with on your own. You can also identify people that you can contact or resources, whether it be a book in your home or looking up some information on the internet. You don't have to be the one to come up with all the answers. But it is important to be as calm as possible, as neutral to positive as possible, and focus your attention on what the possible solutions are. I'm going to give you an example of an experience that I had today to highlight that particular point. I was at a clinic where I had to prepare notes. And I had left my computer stick at home. And you know how I always say there's really no positive in allowing yourself to get overly upset, and how there it really does not make sense to pressure yourself to be perfect. Well, for the first couple of moments of that particular situation, I was not perfect. I allowed myself to get upset to the point where I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I can't do this. What am I going to do? Okay, I'll talk to some people. Oh, as I'm going to talk to the people, I'm thinking, there's no solution. Okay, so in a certain respect, I was sabotaging myself. But at the same time, I hope you all are hearing, I also followed the advice that I gave you today. I followed it at the same time. So while I was being imperfect, I was also following my advice as best as possible. And I just went to different people asking for suggestions, letting them know what was going on. And lo and behold, the last person I spoke to came up with the suggestion that allowed everything to work out. Basically, the suggestion was to go around to different people in the clinic whom she knew had computer sticks and to see if I could borrow it. And that's exactly what I did. And I found somebody who had a computer stick, used it, got my notes done, and what I'm going to say now, I really mean it, literally. And I also laughed at myself. And I don't mean that in a cruel way, but I laughed at myself in the sense that I thought, you know, you give other people advice, and with this particular situation, you had the opportunity to see how difficult it can be sometimes and how human we can all be in being able to follow what we may recognize in a calm moment, but in a moment might be distressful, how sometimes the best idea is not always the one that we go to, or maybe we just don't go to it right away. So after that, I kind of had a little conversation with myself, and I did say, self, I said, please remember this. Please remember that the next time that maybe you feel distressed, you feel kind of pressed in being able to identify a solution, please remember there are solutions, and that by being able to remain as calm as possible, you give yourself the best chance to identify that solution. So, kind of to summarize real quick, before I go on, in essence, what I've been saying is that if you do everything that you can to maintain your health, and that's on a physical, mental, and spiritual level, you do everything you can to take care of yourself, you truly do eat well, you get reasonable rest, you do some recreational things, you don't just work, work, work. When you have trouble sleeping, you rest anyway. You drink half your body weight in ounces of water. You do your best to keep a calm mind when you're starting to feel distressed. Rather than focusing on the difficulties and the challenges, you do the best that you can to focus on solutions. And you be calm with yourself, and you be gentle with yourself. The better able you are to do all of those things on a consistent basis, the most likely will be the case that you will have the minimal amount of distress in your life, and you will be able to manage the stress that you do encounter in the most efficient way possible and in the most successful way possible. So, again, being gentle with yourself has another benefit. I don't know how many of you may have noticed this, but the way you treat others and the way you relate to others generally is a reflection of how you treat yourself and how you relate to yourself. So a simple example of that is if you tend to be judgmental towards others, it is highly likely that you're going to be judgmental towards yourself. And there is another source of stress and potential distress. And what I'm talking about there basically is relationships. We need support in our lives. That doesn't mean that you need to be dependent. It just means that reaching out to others, being kind to others, as you would want others to be kind to you. Okay, I'm hoping at least somebody thought, wow, that sounds like the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. That's really the key. So one of the things that I do want to mention before we go to our next commercial break is that this segment of the show has been brought to you by Standard Process, the makers and producers of whole food supplements. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I am going to introduce a guest.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease a home? Whether you are ready to complete your first transaction or you are a seasoned investor, Imagine Realty has qualified realtors ready to help you fulfill your real estate needs. Imagine Realty International is a boutique brokerage that specializes in customer service. We market properties from all over the world to people all over the world. Visit us on the web at ImagineRealtyInternational.com or call our office at 832-444-2363. Imagine Realty International, making dreams come true.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. I'm going to introduce my guest now. My guest today is Eric Bean. Eric has served as an English department chair, school dean, associate professor of English, a curriculum developer, an online instructor, and has taught English composition for more than 15 years. He is a motivational speaker and author of a popular Examiner.com Web 2.0 blog, where he reviews websites, social media, and often reports on education, security, and technology issues. His conference presentations help teachers do their job more efficiently. Eric Bean's teaching and writing contributions provide a rigorous and engaging approach to upholding Common Core standards. The Common Core rollout has been controversial, and many districts have already been satisfying portions of it. The Common Core calls for integrating more technology in the classroom. Some faculty are reluctant to use social media in the classroom, either because their district may not allow it, or they do not understand how to best incorporate it. Eric shows teachers how to help their students harness social media skills for learning and how to use WordPress to create a classroom blog that can be used for a variety of English language arts purposes. And now let's learn more about Eric. Hello, Eric, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. As a way of helping the listening audience to have a sense of who you are and what you do, I'm going to start by asking you to tell us about where you grew up and how your earlier years and life experiences have contributed to what you're doing today.
Sure. Well, you know what? I grew up in Massachusetts as well as Michigan and attended a variety of different schools. I started working in the areas of psychology and marketing in the business world. And then, more than 20 years ago, I started taking classes in journalism and marketing. And then I went on to Michigan State to earn a master's degree in journalism. I later went back to school at University of Phoenix to earn a doctorate degree in education because I was fascinated with the online delivery system and the quality of it. And I remember when I was first certified to teach an online back in 2002, online education was still considered something that was taboo. And the efficacy of it was still being challenged by many institutions across the country. So throughout the years since 2002, I've been working real hard to basically help with the efficacy of online education so that people understand that distance learning is a credible form of education. And as a matter of fact, here in the state of Michigan, by 2019, 50% of all high schools will offer online classes in one shape, form, or capacity.
So what is it that you help with? Like, for example, you know, you said that you help with people to kind of get better with the efficacy of the online education. How do you go about doing that?
Well, you know, for some time there's been sort of an old regime in academia where you've got a group of academicians that are comfortable teaching in the on-site or on-ground classroom, if you will. And then you have the newer and experimental instructors that are more willing to embrace online. Now, certainly it's changed quite a bit, and I have to say that, you know, the old regime is dying. But how we do that is, for example, in my particular field, you know, I practice online teaching. I work for a number of online institutions across the country. At the higher education level, and then I began working with high schools as well because I knew that high school classes were eventually going to succumb to the technology for a variety of reasons, not only because it's convenient It can be more economical. Students can choose to attend class at a time that's convenient for them. And so then when the Common Core came around about 3 or 4 years ago, I studied the Common Core and looked at it because I knew it was going to be implemented and accepted by many states across the country, not without its controversy. So I think part of how I'm able to achieve success in the online classroom certainly is by experimenting, by offering different types of lesson plans, and then getting feedback from students and faculty alike that I usually obtain at the end of classes. And then this I, you know, put into future lesson plans as well.
What would you say were the challenges, and I shouldn't say were, probably also are, the challenges of you working with the high schools and colleges and helping them to implement more technology into the classrooms?
Well, the challenge is that a lot of people are still, you know, today in 2014, fearful of technology. I think a lot of it has to do with, especially at the K through 12 level, is something that's called your digital footprint. And what people are afraid of is that younger students especially are using social media inappropriately, and they're leaving a trail that's not going to help their brand or their image as time goes by. But I know a lot of institutions now are starting to incorporate lessons on, you know, to teach students how to use social media appropriately. We don't want people not to use social media, but we want them to use it appropriately. So at the high school level, you know, administrators, faculty, they're fearful that if we incorporate, for example, a lesson, a writing lesson using social media, that somehow that might be, you know, abused or misused. And while no social media network is 100% safe, certainly there are ways to have a school safe, for example, a school safe YouTube site that can be behind a firewall, that can be filtered. You could create a YouTube class channel that is unpublished so that those links only appear to your students and not to, they won't be indexed in Google, for example. So, you know, there are a variety of ways and lesson plans that we've come up with. My co-author and I, Emily Wazak, have come up with a number of lesson plans utilizing WordPress, Facebook, and YouTube, for example.
How much time would you say you tend to spend with administrators, maybe teachers, in terms of kind of just giving them an idea of what you're doing and also how to calm their fears, in terms of calming their fears, the amount of time you have to spend doing that with them?
Sure, sure. No, that's a great, great question. Well, first of all, I think that all faculty and administrators have to understand that, you know, there is a considerable amount of time invested. But, for example, you know, if you're going to set up a WordPress website for your English classroom, you know, you've got to allow 1 or 2 hours to sink your teeth into it, to arrange it effectively, to set up the student pages properly. But once you learn how to do that, you can reuse that site over and over again for a variety of different lessons. You could password protect the pages. You can make certain that the pages are unlisted. Students are smart, though. They want to be part of brand names. You know, and while there are other modalities, if you will, such as Blackboard, Edmodo, where we can utilize these lesson plans in the classroom already, students are smart. They want to be part of YouTube. They want to be part of Facebook. And, you know, even if you can make other alternative technologies available, they want to be right there where the action is. So it definitely involves a certain amount of time to train students. We offer a variety of workshops where we go in to high schools, for example, and we have, you know, like a brown bag series. For an hour, we'll take faculty step by step and have them set up a WordPress site or set up a safe Facebook site. There's a way to set up a Facebook site where it's under the radar, where only people who are invited to attend the specific Facebook group can see what's going on, so that your other posts don't get mixed up in that group, for example. And then, as I mentioned earlier, for YouTube, that can be accomplished by having an unpublished classroom site where you would, for example, videotape students who had written a poem, and then you would post that video of them reading the poem, and then students can collaborate on the poem to try to guess what kind of poem is this, what kind of figurative language is contained in the poem. And that collaboration is something that you can see the trail of, and you can always go back to it and look at it. If you collaborate in a traditional classroom, you might not remember what's said, but online, you can have a record of it. So, you know, to answer your question, it definitely takes some training and willingness of faculty to, you know, use these social networks in a meaningful capacity for their classroom.
So I just want to make sure that I've caught the essence of what you said. It sounds like basically what you do is you contact whoever you have to contact in the school, let them know what you do. You go in, and in a sense, you kind of give the teachers and whatever faculty might attend a chance to experience what the students are going to experience. So number one, you can pretty much address any concerns or fears they have, but you also give them the opportunity to learn it, which then also helps them to be a partner to you, because obviously you're not going to be there very long. You're going to be there enough time to make sure they have the basic idea, and then it's up to the teachers to take it over.
That's exactly correct. And we've put together a website called CommonCoreLessonPlans.com, and teachers can visit that site. And right now, there is assistance. For example, there is a slideshow on how they can set up their own WordPress site, which corresponds with the release of our 2014 book published by Brigantine Media in St. John's, Barrie, Vermont, called WordPress for Student Writing Projects. And so when they go to CommonCoreLessonPlans.com, if they just simply click on the tips button, they will see a slideshow that can easily tell them, you know, how to set up a WordPress site step by step. And then, yes, we're always available to assist. And if anybody has any questions, they can contact us via the website as well.
What satisfaction do you get from doing this?
Well, you know what? That's even a better question. I enjoy this process immensely. I truly believe that incorporating technology as the Common Core mandates is something that will continue to grow and flourish. It's very surprising that when I sit down and work with students anywhere between, you know, grade 6 and 12, just how much they already know about computers in general, about social networking, and, you know, capturing their attention on where they play is that's something that can't be replaced necessarily in the traditional classroom. And so I enjoy this process immensely. I enjoy helping students succeed as well as helping faculty succeed, trying to make that connection in the classroom. And also, I was recently selected to be part of a brand new book called Moments of Clarity, and it's an anthology of stories from faculty who teach for success, which is also available on Amazon.com. And as one of the 17 faculty members in the book, I pride myself on being able to take students as well as faculty from point A to point B in a straight line. I think that's the only way to teach is to transfer the information so that students as well as faculty can succeed. And there's nothing more that I would like to continue doing for my career.
So in a sense, to put it quite simply, it sounds like you have developed a love for technology, and a big part of what contributes to your satisfaction is that you get to share that love in a way that really helps to enhance the life of students.
There's no question. There's no question because, you know, I've been working with the Internet since the mid-1990s. I remember when I developed my first website in 1995, I was using an AOL FTP interface, which was absolutely archaic by today's standards. You couldn't even see where you were sending files to. I remember developing my first website, which is still on the Internet today, aaronswindyhill.com, which is a bed and breakfast in Charlevoix, Michigan. And when I think back over the years, what technology has given me, not only a sense of accomplishment, but knowing that it's incremental, that what I learn year after year I can take with me to, you know, a new career, or I can take with me on a new project. And so I think the ability to convey that and to share that excitement you know, with students and faculty, that they too can take this with them. There's more than enough room for all of us to succeed by incorporating this technology in our lives. You know, I know that there's a backlash. I know some people are saying, you know, we want to have well-rounded students. Of course we do. We want to have students that can simply play outside, but there's no denying that, you know, the technology will continue to improve our lives, and we certainly have to know how to use it wisely, but there's no doubt that not only can it improve our lives, but it can transform our lives, increase our income, as well as, you know, help with our general outlook. And all of this technology is right here at our fingertips and changing on a day-to-day basis.
Now, I'm going to show my ignorance here for a moment. The Common Core rollout, is that a nationwide effort, or is it restricted to only certain states at this point?
Well, right now, there's all 50 states have not signed on quite yet. The last time I checked, I think we had about 44 or 45 states. I think part of the backlash of this has to do certainly with politics, certainly, you know, there's a lot of work that has to be done whenever you're trying to meet a standard, and the most important amount of work is done by tracking what you're doing. You have to demonstrate that you've met the standards. So if we look at the Common Core, for example, we look at the Common Core writing standards, you know, students, or I should say faculty, have to track if students are actually meeting those standards. So I think that's where some of the backlash is occurring, because the truth of the matter is that many school systems across the country have already been meeting these standards. But maybe they just haven't tracked them as closely as they need to. And that's where the difference lies.
That's a good point. Actually, Eric, we're out of time.
Okay.
That went real quick. But I want to thank you for being the guest for my show. And before we end, I just want to say we literally have about 30 seconds left before we're going to go off the air. Any last real fast thing you want to say, or you think we've covered it?
Just that for more information, certainly visit our website, commoncorelessonplans.com, and you can certainly contact Emily or myself, and we'd be happy to answer any of your questions, and we're here for you 24 hours a day.
Okay. Well, have a great afternoon.
You too. Thank you, and I'm glad to be a part of the show.
Okay. It was a pleasure having you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, everyone, we've come to the end of the show. I want to invite you all back to listen to next week's show, next Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock, Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg. Good afternoon, everyone, and have a great week.
Thank you for joining us on Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.